This is part two of the podcast for Wednesday, June 5th, 2019, Theories of Knowledge. And so we're talking about moral and political knowledge now. And so it's a very short chapter, but I thought, you know, there's two things that people talk about incessantly, morality and politics. And so rather than just talking about, you know, and I suppose religion would be the third one, right? So we just got talking about religion. But, you know, rather than just talking about, you know, empiricism versus rationalism and the sort of debates in the things people think about as being, academic or I suppose philosophical, which I think are worthwhile in discussing, and they're kind of foundational, morality and politics thing is perhaps a little more practical as you think about your day-to-day forming of beliefs. A lot of questions people have is like, what should I do? Is this the right thing to do or isn't it? And then the larger philosophical question, well, where do my ideas about right and wrong come from? How do I know what's right and wrong? And then a sort of a subset of morality is this question of politics. So, okay, given these are my values or these are the values that I should have, then what would a just society look like? And then as I'm gathering information about politics, how do I make sure that I'm getting accurate information? So let's talk about moral knowledge a little bit first. So one question is, people make this argument. They'll say, okay, well, without ethics, everything would fall apart, right? It would be like there's this movie, it's The Purge, right? So this idea you suspend all laws for what is it, a 24-hour period? People go crazy and you can commit murder and theft and whatever. And so the idea is the rules of morality kind of keep people's baser impulses in check, right? So that's and so this is the idea, well, without morality, society would fall apart. And that might be a social justification for morality, but that's different than a proof of morality. So, Whether morality is beneficial to human society is a different question than whether moral statements are objectively true, right? So it might be that morality is a crock. It could be that it has some natural basis in human biology, or it's an evolved trait or something, or it could be it's a useful fiction. And it could be that it's bad for the individual but good for society. So those are a lot of different questions that you can ask about it, and they're totally independent about whether morality is good for society. So one thing to remember is that there's a difference between something being good for society and being justified in itself. Thank you. Think about like analogous with belief in God. Suppose the reason that people don't go around committing acts of harming other people is because they're worried that God's going to punish them. Well, that's completely consistent with the idea that there isn't a God, and it's just the belief that's motivating them. So in the same way, people have beliefs about morality, and maybe they're inculcated by society. Maybe we're conditioned to have them. Maybe part of them are natural, and they're coming from human biology and not society or culture, right? But the fact that we have these feelings isn't proof that they represent anything objective. So that's and that's like the point that David Hume makes. So Hume is a skeptic about morality, and we talk a lot about him in our ethics class, and so. Hume says, look, what is there to morality? All there is to morality is feelings of approval and disapproval. So Hume says, you take a statement like wanton murder is wrong. And it seems like it's an objective world statement, right? It seems like, okay, well, murder is wrong. Well, you're talking about like an act, and you're talking about having equality, and you're saying this act, particular act, has this quality. And it seems like you're talking about the objective world. But Hume says, really, you think about it, it's different from saying, like, that my cup is empty, right? Well, we can tell whether my cup is empty by looking inside it and then shake it or something and say, oh, it's got ice cubes in it. But I might say my cup is empty of hibiscus tea. And we can check to see whether that's true or not. But we can't check to see, or somebody asked this question, how do we check to see whether murder is wrong? Is that something that we can examine? Like, what? There's a state of affairs in the objective world such that I can look in the cup and see if there's anything in it. But I how do I do that one with regard to murder? Yeah.
Do you mean killing or murder?
Murder. Like I have a murder. Murder is an unjustified act of killing.
But then it's wrong because it's unjustified. Or I guess it's at least unjustified. Wrong's kind of vague. But I would say if it's an unjustified act of killing, then that's a bad quality, so it's wrong.
Right, so obvious, but bumping off my wife with the insurance money. Just take a particular one, right? So bumping off my wife with insurance money is wrong, right? I'm not using the word murder, which might have like a, I might be begging the question there. So there's different kinds of killing. You know, killing in self-defense, most people think is permissible, unless you're Amish or something. Killing in defense of another person, right, to save another person's life, seeing it's being okay.
Like you killed a terrorist, like Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, maybe killing a person that's in the act of committing, is planning killing massive numbers of civilians. Killing in war, most people accept in a just war anyway. But let's just take the bumping off my wife for the insurance money, right? So if I'm going to do that, we'd say that's wrong. But is there anything in the objective act itself that I could say, that I could point to and say, okay, there's the quality of wrongness?
You're kind of being selfish, like you're taking somebody else's life because you want more money.
Oh, what's wrong with selfishness? Of course I want money. Everybody wants money. That's why they call it money.
But I mean, like, if it's unjustified, then, like, the justification that comes from one person, it's justified because you want the money. But then, like,
I'm talking about moral justification, so that's maybe different from, like, the reason, like, my motive to kill my wife is because I want to collect the insurance money.
So, but if it's morally justified, then you don't, like, if you form your own morals, then that's different than just morally justified to, like, everybody. And if everybody says that it's morally unjustified because they think that it being unjustified for money, that's the moral. Like, you shouldn't kill someone for money.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But that, like, the so I know I recognize most people disapprove of bumping off your spouse's insurance money, which is why I'm going to not, like, tell people, right? And, you know, I'm just trying to keep it a secret and make it look like an accident. So that's the, and I would never do that. I love my wife. It's just a philosophical example, right? So
she heard this.
Yeah, maybe someday. I'm sure she would be fine.
If she looked into your podcast.
Yeah. So Hume says, but what is there? There's nothing objective. It's a subjective feeling of approval or disapproval. Like the quality, you think about like secondary qualities, right? The quality is not in the act itself. The quality is in us. We tend to approve and disapprove of certain things. And Hume says this is rooted in human nature. And so... And today there's like people that do sociobiology and show how our approval and disapproval of certain things is related to things like mirror neurons in our brain and the fact that we evolved as social animals and behaviors of reciprocity and so on that are kind of baked into our brains. And then there's culture on top of that sort of reinforces those tendencies. So Hume would say that's not like you think about like something being objectively right and wrong, like that there's some moral law that exists in the ether that says, you know, thou shalt not kill. He says that there is no such thing. And that it's not an external thing in the act, certain acts that makes them right or wrong. It's an internal feeling and it's all emotional, right? There's no objectivity to it. It's just like I have this feeling like, oh, I think about killing innocent people, it makes me feel bad. I think about helping a little old lady across the street, it makes me feel good. I see like a heartwarming story of some guy that, you know, gave his life to serving mankind, I feel good about that. I see like some serial killer who, you know, that treated people terribly, and I like feel anger and I want to see him punished, right? And then he says, that's just, those are just feelings. There's no moral facts, only moral feelings. So that's Hume's view. And one of the problems with Hume's view is you can't really, it's not really an argument for why things are right and wrong. It's just, Hume says basically we have these feelings of sympathy that are rooted in human nature, and that's all there is to morality. So there's no objectivity to it. Then it makes it seem like, well, you know, why should I pay attention to morality at all? And so that, you know, gives fuel to like people that say, well, there's got to be some transcendental standard, something that's beyond culture. And so that's why people are attracted to divine command theory, this idea that the rules of morality are determined by God. And then that, you run into problems there, though, when you ask, well, is this just divine fiat? If God commanded torturing babies for fun, would that make it okay? And so you start thinking about, well, is it just like some authority figure giving commands that doesn't really make much sense? Could God, even if he's omnipotent, could he make something that we think about as being immoral, moral, just by telling us to do it? That doesn't seem likely either. So at least it seems it's fraught with problems. There's also this idea that you shouldn't think about morality as being some transcendental set of commandments, but maybe morality is just the art of living well, and that to be moral is to live a good life, and to live a good life just means to develop certain virtues of character, to be honest and hardworking and conscientious. And a good friend, and a good member of the community. And those things are going to make you successful in life as an individual, and they're also going to make a successful society. So there's just a little section on political knowledge, and I think I'll just leave that to you to read over, and I'll just have a couple of questions on that on the exam. Make sure to look at the questions for review at the very end of Chapter 10. Good luck on the final, and this is all we have time for. So don't forget to take the final exam by next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and enjoy your summer. Enjoyed having you in class.